get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time today, what makes this show so unique is that every week, my husband Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He brings through an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show, we're going to be talking about endangered species. And in particular, we're going to be talking about mountain gorillas. So if you would like to call in with a question relating to our subject, we'd love to hear from you. It does affect everybody. It's not a reading show today. Okay, but if you want to call in, the number is, it's a toll-free number in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, I'm afraid it's not toll-free, but it'll only be a quick call. It's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi. I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, our work for Spirit, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com or www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the deep trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back. And that is how it should be when you're communicating in this natural way for spirit, because we wouldn't want anything of the thoughts and feelings from my own conscious mind to get in the way of the spirit contact. It has to be a completely free vessel, so there must be no conscious thought there whatsoever. Anyway, I'm going to say goodbye now. Goodbye. And I'm going to leave it to Sylvie to take the rest of the show.
Thank you. And I'd just like to say that we are in the Portland area doing some workshops in the next few months, starting on tomorrow, actually. We are at Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces, which is on Broadway, from 7 till 9. It's donation only tomorrow night, so come along and meet Gregory. And you can, if you want to get in touch with us on enq@spirit-teaching.com, you can we can tell you more about it, or you can phone the actual event today and book your place. It's 503-528-1430. We're also the week after that on October the 6th at Spirit Feathers in Portland, in Selwood, and that's in the afternoon of Saturday the 6th. It's 3 to 5 p.m. Come along and see Gregory, or have a look on our website to find out about these workshops and all of the other workshops that we've got on enq@spirit-teaching.com. That's the email. Spirit-teaching.com is the website. Sometime after Gregory's physical death in 1723, Gregory was asked if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group, the White Cloud Group. They were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life, to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and aid us on a road to recovery and hopefully raise the vibration of the planet. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. Oh, and of course, those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. Anyway, do join us if you have a question today on 877-876-5227, Canada 888-815-9756, international callers 001-530-876-3222. But it's only really about the subject that we're talking about tonight. It doesn't, I mean, you know, as long as it's linked, that's fine. It's just that we're not doing reading. Okay. Hello, Gregory.
Greetings, my dear friend, with love and light, as always.
Thank you. I'm yodeling again. So, today we thought we'd talk about endangered species, and in particular, we were going to be talking about mountain gorillas.
Yes.
This is something that you suggested to me the other day that we did. I know we've talked about this before on other programs, maybe on other stations, I don't know, but we have talked about it before, but it's something we need to keep on top of this sort of situation, don't we, and get the word out.
Absolutely, because the situation for those creatures is so deplorable, and they are at the crossroads, really, of whether they actually become extinct or not. And that really is something that we felt that we just could not let go. And incidentally, we have in the presence here at this time one Diana Fossey and Mr. Peter Scott, who also are appearing in this state and bringing passing information to do with the Highland gorillas of this particular area that is to do really with Rwanda, Uganda, and the Belgian Congo, of course. Much really to do with the Belgian Congo, because actually it has now been infiltrated by fighters, I understand, to do with certain other countries, and that they have actually taken up position in a rather large environmentally sacred place, I suppose you could say, that is actually the home of one of the last vestiges of Highland gorilla in the world.
I have to say that when I was doing some research on this earlier on, I didn't know if I could carry on and do this show. I just broke down. Maybe I'm having a bad day in general. I don't know, but it just got to me.
I do understand.
And this is not what we want to bring to people, obviously. We need to make people aware of the situation, but to actually strengthen your resolve to make a difference.
Yes.
To inform you, and that's what this sort of show is going to be about.
Absolutely so. So the situation really as well has to do with the very fact that the land that the gorillas actually occupy as well, of course, is, as well as it being absolutely particular to these kinds of beings, which are, in a sense, really quite sacred, because they have a great intellect, a great deal of situation about them. They are very harmonic beings, extremely worldly in their understanding of their walk of life. They are so precious, really, and that unfortunately the land in which they occupy is also very fertile and rich. This means that there is a great pressure, economical pressure, upon their ecology. Quite simply because local farmers and that kind of thing don't want them to be present, even though their very presence would, in fact, generate a far larger income than the farmers could ever generate once the land had been ravaged, denuded of trees, perhaps, and then turned into cropland for agriculture. it is such a short-sighted statement, of course, as we see all too frequently on the physical side of life that human beings must always come first. And it appears to be that there is no land which appears to be sacred. And in this respect, I suppose, what is going to be next? Well, of course, the Arctic, the Antarctic is going to be next. So, too, will be the complete deforestation of most of the Amazon rainforest. That, too. But for the moment, we have to concentrate upon Rwanda, Uganda, and the Belgian Congo, because these are countries which are the last habitations of the Highland gorilla. For this purpose, it means to say, my dear friends, that many of them are, in fact, targeted by farmers. They're shot on sight, in fact, just to deplete the stock, because then, once they are eradicated, they can quite freely walk in and completely destroy the habitat and turn it over to agricultural farmland so that they can make large amounts of money on the backs of this. Of course, this isn't just to do to individuals either. This is actually to do with companies who back these individuals in their game plan, I suppose you could say.
Mm.
So that is something also that people have to be aware of, that this isn't just to do with individual people and their ignorance. This is actually to do with a well-thought-out, constructed plan of decreaturization, if you like, in order to allay that habitat and turn it into something that will bring them a vast fortune. As I say, this is actually because of the volcanic area which affords them this kind of possibility. Now, at present, I understand, it is mainly filled with a certain species of tree and certain kinds of bamboo, which, of course, the gorillas actually love, both kinds. And, of course, they dwell within many other forms of vegetation as well as eating different kinds of fruit, thank you, Diane, and various different kinds of other states of vegetation that they...
Nettles and celery and thistles.
Yes, I understand so, yes. Yes, quite so. So that all of this is, of course, a part of their real sacred diet, because they are the complete vegetarian. They won't even try an insect. So that's really quite interesting to note. In fact, of course, quite at variance with the chimpanzee or something like that, who are actually omnivorous, and they will eat all kinds of beings, including themselves, I have to say.
Yes, and mountain gorillas aren't vicious either, are they? I mean, they rarely attack humans. I mean, that's really just nonsense as well.
Of course. Oh, yes, absolutely so. They will only actually do so, and it's usually only a silverback that will do that.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, in total defense of their own habitation and the situation that's around them.
You said that they actually could make more money out of the gorillas still being there than they would out of the land after they've got rid of them and the forest.
Yes, well, actually, as Diana Fossey says, part of the thing that she actually set up was to be able to have a conservation area which would then be at the respect and behest of the local tribespeople who also live there, of course, and continue to live there and work and survive in that community. It meant to say that her foresight was really in being able to enable those people to have greater respect for the animals and to understand that through their protection they were actually going to have a living from their existence, from being there, in that they would be act as guides and focus, be able to focus a great many stories about the gorillas themselves and their different habitation, that they would actually learn a great deal about their habitation, almost as though they're living in a captured park, really.
Yes.
Which, of course, they are, but the point is that it's a preserved area, and that's something which needs to be respected and in the regards of its sacred state. Unfortunately, of course, and this is why Diane really wanted so much to recircle into this very name, this very subject of expression on behalf of the spirit world really is to do with the very fact that there are these armed groups. There is a whole army at present, I understand, in the Belgian Congo district. And this is something which is extremely frightening for the guerrillas, and also at great detriment because they started eating them.
They've started eating them.
Yes, and I have to say there are actually only 350 left, so it's not really going to take very long.
Well, no, because I was reading that they actually don't give birth for the first time until they're 10 years old.
This is quite true.
And then they have offspring every 3 or 4 years. A male doesn't... Diane can correct me if I've got the wrong information here.
A male doesn't
begin to breed until it's 12 to 15 years old.
Yes, and even then, of course, it's only really going to be at the behest of the silverback, who is actually controlling that particular tribe. And, of course, as Diane rightly points out, and she thanks you for the information, that in fact the situation is that the whole... combustion, I suppose you could say, around the guerrillas itself, is that, of course, if there is a change in the silverback, who is the dominant male, it will become, of course, that an incoming silverback will then actually, and this is the only time when they're really violent, is that the actual incoming silverback will then very often dispatch the offspring of the previous silverback, up to a certain age state.
Right, yes. Well, if they... Yes.
But that will also run off the other ones as well.
Yes, and that's the same with a lot of wild animals, isn't it?
It is very true, yes. Of course, lions do that as as many other forms.
Yeah, because it serves to continue to cut off the other gene pool and to start anew his own genetic line. Plus, it brings the female back into ovulation in season so that he can breed again.
Yes, and that is, of course, the whole reason for it. Because, of course, if you are looking at the animal state, at the wild state of nature, you are looking at the perseverance of one genetic line. So it is always going to be the maintenance of the strongest genetic line, which, of course, incidentally, is why you have to have a certain specific gene pool in the first place in order for a single species to survive. Now, it is understood that the tipping point of any particular natural creature or any being that exists in physical life is approximately at 220. If the number moves below 220, it means to say that the gene pool existence is actually, through the mutation base of that gene pool existence, is going to probably breed a failed gene pool mutation. So it means to say, of course, that species, even if the killing stopped at 220 or just below it, it would mean it would be a very tacit community. It would be extremely difficult to keep that community intact and together. And this is really part of the greatest problem that the spirit world have, and of course that physical people have on your side of life, in trying to maintain those creatures who are at extinction's door in this respect. It was one of the reasons, of course, why the Chinese dolphin was unable to survive, simply because there were too few numbers in the single Yangtze River to enable it to meet with others and copulate in the in advancing the mutation gene pool that existed at that time.
Yeah.
And that was why they became extinct. Of course, most of that was due to the pressure of industrialized companies, which actually polluted the river to a great extreme and extent. And of course, it's actually meant that many people have died as a result of it as well. Of the pollution that was created there. So it isn't to say, of course, that many people are going to die as a result of the highland gorilla and the loss of it from the faunic table of life for the earth. However, it does mean to say that whilst there still remains to be this plethora of people who will willingly take out gorillas as they see them, not necessarily to eat them even, although that is a vile practice in itself.
Yes, well, apparently the ones that were killed recently, most recently that I could find anyway,
yes.
Information about, there was five or six.
That's right, of one family.
There was a silverback and males, and yes, they rescued some younger ones.
Yes.
You get, in that instance, you see, you don't only lose them, you lose all the other, it's a knock-on effect, isn't it? It's like, so another silverback is missing, so there will be females maybe that need another mate, and
yes.
It goes on, and then they kill other babies, and...
Yes, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely,
it just,
so.
It wipes out so many more, apart from the abandoned baby.
Yes, the abandoned offspring, and of course, part of that situation scenario, the disruption and the ongoing crisis for that family is, of course, that many of them will have fled the area once the situation had begun, which is what happened. Many of them fled the area, and of course, this was actually caused by errant farmers, as I say.
This particular situation?
Yes.
Because they're saying that they don't know why it happened.
No, that's why it happened.
Because they weren't eaten or anything like that, or
no.
sold, or,
no.
you know, no parts were taken from them.
No, of course not. They were there quite simply because they were in the way of progress, of the march of progress. They see it. There is a certain enclave of people in that area who see it, that it is their job to destroy the Highland gorillas so that they can take their land.
Okay. So, well, there's so many different angles of problems here, isn't there?
Unfortunately, yes, there is. Of course, not forgetting, withstanding that it is really to do also with climate and habitat, and the way that climate is affecting the habitat. Thankfully, however, there are certain parts of this particular aspect of the countryside in which case much of it can be kept in its prime condition simply by stopping the deforestation roundabout to enable and enhance this particular area. So what I mean to say then is that it's no good if it's just the one single particular environmental protection zone which is not deforested. It needs to be other areas that surround the zone as well, the protected park, so that they too are then going to help that environment to maintain itself. If you chopped every tree down all the way up to the border of the park itself or to the safe zone for the gorillas, then you are actually putting that whole zone at risk by doing that, by creating that barren state.
Mm-hmm.
And quite simply, it's going to be extremely difficult for them to survive beyond it. It's exactly the same, my dear friends, as if it is allowed to carve a road, shall we say, into a prime and pristine piece of Amazon rainforest. And if you carve a road all the way through it, which is what has been proposed by the Brazilian government, this is only the very beginning to actually deforestation of that whole valley and to the whole system of irrigation, which has been there for so many millions and millions of years. So once you carve a road through it, you are actually then separating the two sides of the forest, because for many animals and many creatures, insects, birds, yes, even birds, even though they can fly, they will not fly into or across an open pathway. So it means to say, if you have made a road which is so many meters or yards or feet wide,
mm-hmm.
and you have made it all the way through the forest, then it means to say that many creatures actually will not be able to step from one side of the road to another.
They won't do it. What, fear, instinct?
Yes, fear and instinct will lead them not to be able to do it. So it means to say that you have actually cut in half the mutation possibility of the DNA extract from one particular species and divided it in half. Because all of the beings on one side cannot cross into the path of the beings on the other side. So it means to say you have completely halved the DNA possibility of genetic manipulation. So the mutation is going to be half as much, or rather it's going to be as half as much again as to the possibilities of a mutation in a downward spiral. Don't forget that mutation in all creatures depends solely upon the willing state of different beings spying upon and understanding through their own instinct patterns, if you like, their own genetic coding, that they actually understand that they've met with someone from a different genetic gene pool. And this is exactly what happens in human beings and human behavior. It's why you have this whole fascination with the mating and pairing of human beings, one with another, quite simply because you are still trying to find the possibilities in the genetic gene pool, which will mean that your genetic strain will still survive, will be strong enough to actually survive for physical reality.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about mountain gorillas. If you would like to join us with a question or comment about our topic today, we'd love to hear from you. This toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers is not free, I'm afraid, but it's only a quick call. 001-530-876-3222. So, basically, we have so many different situations here. We have the hunting them for bushmeat. The type of people that do that are...
tribes people who are actually facing quite a pattern of starvation, I have to say. And so in many respects, that is something which actually could be alleviated by different practices of human behavior, by different situations, scenarios of care, for example. Now there's a word, care. That's something perhaps that many governments have failed to respond to as they will of it, as they will only respond apparently to the whims of certain corporations and that kind of thing. Unfortunately, I'm so sorry that we actually have to bring this up even in the context of explanation that we bring from the spirit world. This shouldn't really be the spirit world's business.
Well, absolutely, no. But unfortunately, humanity doesn't think it's their business either.
No, quite so. And that's why we have to say something in order to make a stand on behalf of these creatures who cannot speak your language.
Absolutely, yes. So, well, basically, that's a humanitarian reason, isn't it?
I mean,
the tribesmen, really, that could be, you know, that's something that the Western world could help with. I mean,
yes.
This is it. If we don't just think, it's a knock-on effect. So if we go down curing it at a different level, there's got to be the answer. With the same with the farmers. With their land and the other alternatives for making money and that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely so.
This is why it's all out. It's our fault equally as well.
That is quite true. How many of you will continue to buy materials that are made from endangered plants, from endangered trees? Yes, I know very well that there are many companies who will insist that their wood is coming from perfectly managed forests and that kind of thing. If that were the state, then why is it that the Americas continue to allow in ships of timber which has been cut from deforestation of the Amazon rainforest illegally and allowed that harvest to then be bought upon the open market? That is a situation. I understand that you have an environmental group, I believe it's called Greenpeace, and that they actually have been willing conspirators in trying to stop this illegal trade. But it apparently appears to be that you have governments who are willing to let it divide and will even persecute them, Greenpeace, for allowing this to be brought to the attention of the nation. So you have very great problems of the circumvention of rules and applications that you have already applied. So it's almost as though you have half the population that actually thinks that this is already going on, that, oh, no, everything's safe because we've already dealt with that. They have already assured us that all of this wood or whatever coming from this particular rainforest is not actually from that rainforest at all. No, it's from a perfectly managed part of that rainforest. But it isn't. That's the point. It's because you are dealing with criminality that you have to understand the underlying concept beneath it is to do with finance, to do with the situation of substance as well. It's not just the timber that you are buying. When you are buying illegal timber, you are also bolstering criminalities from the effects of their drug market. And that kind of thing. So all of the people that are doing this are also engaged in drug markets. So you are aiding and abetting the willful destruction of your own young people by allowing this situation to continue to brew. And I know I am here making a political statement. There I am, as a spirit being, having not a physical existence because I've done with that. But I am in observance of the behavior of humanity, and it's as though, as Diane Fossey rightly says, that there are so many human beings who walk blindly in their own ignorance and bathe in it daily, quite simply because they do not want to see, do not want to take responsibility. Well, if you continue that way, then your children are not going to forgive you for allowing this state of a fait accompli.
Yes, it's not always that obvious. The criminal and the perpetrators aren't always as obvious as the people with the guns or, it's a lot larger than that. But, there's the traps and snares that either maim them or kill them as well that are put there, maybe for other animals, but they do get injured and sometimes killed. They also get killed for their heads and hands and feet, don't they?
Because of Chinese medicine, I understand, the exact same reason that tigers are also being brought to the brink of extinction, and as are white leopards as well, snow leopards, and also the other ordinary leopard.
They're sold to collectors as well, not just for the... how do they use it? Something to do with aphrodisiac, isn't it? But anyway, yes, well, there's the collectors. The infants are sold to zoos and researchers and that sort of thing. People want them as pets. And the thing is, the abduction of infants generally involves the loss of at least one adult because members of the group will fight to the death to protect their young, so they usually end up getting shot as well.
Yes, absolutely so.
And then, of course, then you get that knock-on effect, and like we say, you know, that the mother doesn't breed for so many years.
Absolutely so. So just the loss of one breeding mother is such a catastrophic situation for these tribes of people. And I call them people. They are people. They are just the same as people as you are. It's just that their spirit is perhaps a little more intelligent to the actual harmonic in which they live. That is something for you perhaps to remember as human beings, that there you have a being which is harmonically more gifted than you are. It's just because of the fact that humanity can turn their harmony on and off, like a tap, I suppose. So does that mean to say then that human beings must obviously think that they are better, simply because they can do that, they can turn it on and off? But I venture to say, in fact, that the lowland gorilla and the highland gorillas, that their spirit is equal to that of human beings. Just because human beings think that with their conscious mind and with the efforts in which they bring about their duty of care, that it's something that makes them higher beings. But it isn't, because their conscious effort is only to do with their willful expertise as to whether they actually want to do that or not. They can obviously as well pick the lesser negative route and bring about acts of sheer vandalism, which is what we see so many people doing at this present time.
I was reading that if a mother dies in the group or leaves the group, the silverback is usually the one who looks after the abandoned offspring.
Yes.
Even allowing them to sleep in his nest and that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely so, yes.
Yeah.
They are really so protective and so compassionate about the care and the well-being of their offspring and the family around them. Perhaps that, too, should really be a case in point to many human beings and the way that they lack so much care for their human offspring, for their children, for the, those who are around them in their family group.
I was just thinking earlier on about how people might be thinking, you know, that when the silverback will kill the offspring of the previous male.
Yes.
I'm thinking about that and thinking, that, you know, that... it might enter your head that that's just really awful. You know, I mean, animalistic and it's just dreadful. But we do that. We go and bomb other countries and kill their children.
Absolutely. Yes, just because you don't like perhaps the way that they are controlling the produce that you want, perhaps.
There are a myriad of reasons.
Yes,
other people's children.
Absolutely, yes. Even for own self-satisfaction or gratification or emotional value, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, I thought it was interesting that humans, I think, are their main predator at the moment, but
yes.
Leopards and crocodiles as well.
Yes, but the crocodile situation really is quite a haphazard one. And I have to say, it's really only because of the fact of if a group is a bit careless about their venture toward water for when they are bathing or having a drink or something like that, because they usually have sentries who are in observation of the land around them. And they're usually at a vantage point, and they will actually send calling signs or whatever to the rest of the group to get out of the water quickly if they even see a crocodile. So it's really to do with how observant those beings are at the time for the group.
Mm.
So I have to say that this isn't something which readily happens. No, quite so.
What about leopards?
Well, leopards, there again, I have to say really that mostly they are not food for leopards. That mostly, really, leopards have a penchant for different kinds of deer and antelope and that kind of thing, different kinds of other beings, really, that live in the forest. They are much more readily to take those rather than gorillas, although, of course, they will obviously pick out a sick gorilla if they find one, and also a young as well, but even then, I have to say that young offspring are usually, it's usually that they are able to be supported by their parents.
Yes, well, they don't usually leave them much, do they?
No, they do not.
Yeah.
Quite so, yes.
And I understand as well that they are prone to our diseases that we get.
Oh, yes,
well,
absolutely so. Pneumonia is something, actually, Diane says, is something that actually took away a great many.
Really?
Yes.
So and they have long, cold, wet seasons as well, don't they?
Yes, they would probably
be the classic time for that.
Yes.
Parasites and that sort of thing?
Yes, those too, I understand, and viruses.
Well, how does that work with... the Western civilization, whoever, go and visit and have tours there and that sort of thing?
Yes, yes. And of course, that is something as well that really needs to be a part of the introduction to them, and really for them that they should not, in fact, interact with them too readily. And I know that there are some groups that... So Peter is actually pointing out that there are some groups who actually bring about a very close encounter with gorillas, and it is a really beautiful thing, I have to say. It is the most wondrous state to actually be in the gaze of gorillas who are observing you, observing them. But it really should be that greater care needs to be taken by the authorities who are, and the reservations who are operating this kind of scheme, that they actually take much greater care over the inoculations, over the well-being of their charges, of the people that wish to come and view them in their natural state. As that is something which also then, obviously, if they have potential diseases or something like that, if they don't have the adequate shots, I believe that's what you call it,
mm-hmm.
a shot. I understood that was always to do with firearms, but it's also to do with inoculations.
That's
and that
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if they do not have adequate protection in that respect, and of course it's actually quite difficult then to be able to circumnavigate this situation, and even really because you have to keep an account of what is actually happening to the tribe of gorillas in the first place in order to detect some form of unwellness and dis-ease.
Absolutely. And what about gorillas in zoos? I mean, and obviously infants are sold to zoos and not always because they've been rescued.
No, quite so. Well, I do have to say, my dear friend, that there are certain situations both in Europe and also, I understand, in other countries as well, where highland gorillas and lowland gorillas too are actually kept in captivity, but in a form of reservation site, which actually allows them to breed. And so perhaps it may well be that the only rescue, the only real remedy for these beings in the wild state is actually to take them away from it.
Mm.
To take them away from it and give them some other piece of land that can actually be properly protected.
Where would that be?
Well, I am saying perhaps that needs to be in a place like Europe or perhaps in America, something like that, so that the beings that are left can be reestablished in that respect, and then actually perhaps when a time is better fitting for them to be returned to their natural habitat, when perhaps the situation of cycles of violence and that kind of thing has been corrected, then maybe that is a choice open to some to make in order to ensure their survival. How else is humanity actually going to take responsibility for their survival if they do not do that?
Well, because of the gene pool, I guess that it has to be various different group situations of that happening, and then they
get released
back.
Yes, that's my point, really, my friend. That what I'm saying is that you actually have a gene pool in one particular place, in one particular environment. Perhaps it's a large enough environment to have two or three tribes. So, and then you have another place in some other part of the planet which also has an equal number of tribes, and you swap gene pool. From one to another, even if it's to do with females and not necessarily males.
Yes, so it's, managed situations,
yes.
Because you could do that because knowing that, you know, like, that females don't give birth until they're 10,
yes.
And that sort of thing,
exactly.
You know, and then it's only every 3 or 4 years, it can be managed a little better.
Yes, especially, of course, if it is in a very specific, a very specifically made environment, it means to say that you can actually establish a very close relationship with the tribes involved and also really be able to maintain them in the best of health as well.
That'd be quite something to embark upon, wouldn't it?
Well, it's either that or the extinction.
They become extinct. Is this something that Diane Fossey thinks is a good idea?
Well, it is something, unfortunately, that she had to come to terms with, quite simply because it appears that the human beings who live in that part of the world are incapable of coming to rational thought or deliverance of their conscious effort in this response. And so it appears to be that others must respond to it in kind if that form of being is going to be kept and enabled for all of those others in the spirit world who wish to have that experience to continue from that soul group in that particular way. Because that is their desire. It always has been their desire. It's exactly the same, my friend, with the dodo. All of those who never had the experience but wanted to have the experience were actually believed and greatly troubled. They had to be counseled for a very long time in order to allow them to understand that form of being was no longer present in physical life. It's been exactly the same for the dinosaurs and many other beings who eventually became extinct in physical life, and it's the same for any other planet, I have to say. Eventually, the migration of those spirits who have not touched that life generally tends to be that they continue to help the others who have managed to maintain a presence. And that is that it becomes then their focus. So it's not to say that any beings really truly become extinct. Dinosaurs still live in the spirit world in their own at variance degree of understanding and in their own vibration. And they are kept there quite simply, not as symbols of realization for humanity, but for their own sakes and for the many millions and billions of those in the spirit world who still look after them and their presence. Their conscious effort.
Well, the thing is, we're actually we're going to be making our planet extinct. So it's not only those people on that side of the world that are doing this to the gorillas, is it?
No, quite
so.
You
know what I mean?
Oh yes, of course, yes. Now, but of course, the planet will become extinct at some point, eventually, anyway. Quite simply, because the sun will become a frozen orb. And that will be the end of that. So you have to look at it in the principle of, well, what exactly is going to happen to all of these species? Exactly the same thing as happens to all of the species of all other planets which have become extinct. Spirit lives on. The spirit consciousness is sublime in its efficacy, in its ability to continue to exist, even though physical presence is no longer a part of the welfare that you have to look to.
Has Diane or Sir Peter Scott or anybody else got any other ideas apart from that one? About
Well, we do see it as either that, or it means to say that there has to be a drastic effort in the policing of the area itself, and that all other situations to do with human habitation has to be eradicated from that area completely, so that it becomes a zone that human beings are not allowed to tread in, and that it's actually something which is enforced. That is the only other alternative open to this scenario.
Because we're not going to change minds, governments in other countries, are we?
Well, the problem is that there is not the will. There is not. It isn't right to say that there isn't the finance. There is. There are environmental groups. There are many groups who actually have the wherewithal and the possibility of making any of these a realization. It is really a matter for decision and for understanding, not to remain in this ignorance pathway that has been so troubling for the areas of Rwanda, Uganda, and the Belgian Congo.
I wonder why we don't see so much of it on the TV.
Well, you won't hear.
Well, we're supposed to. We're supposed to.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, but it isn't. It doesn't make good watching, my friend.
Well, no. Well, I don't know. I see negative programs, the violence and the
Yes, I suppose, yes.
Angst in the world is
yes,
usually good
is,
viewing. What's the
yes,
news
yes.
every night? But, you know, so
yes.
why would...
Well, perhaps because it's to do with animals or something like that. The point is, if it's low upon the agenda, if all of this is low upon the agenda, like the deforestation of the Amazon or any other place, look at all of the deforestation of the different aspects and parts of the world in, on the actual place in which you are having this conversation at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Everglades, another place which is of prime primitive existence, and yet which is being drained, which is being denuded as fast as ever it could be, to sate the appetite, the ever-growing appetite of humanity for a place there, to live there. In exactly the same way as you have other drifts of forestation and that kind of thing, which are then supposedly, oh yes, it's quite all right to cut that down, we can do that. Of course, you would say that. You see, it's about self-responsibility and the very fact that all human beings have to make this responsibility a part of their life. It's not good enough to say, oh yes, we'll send love to that situation, we'll give peace to that situation, we'll send our loving prayers and all of that to alleviate it. Well, you won't. It's exactly the same as doing that toward the energies of the engines of excess and negativity which exist in your world. You have to take a stand and be vocal about it. You have to actually do something cooperatively with other human beings. Otherwise, if you do not do that, you stand to gain nothing but the sterile environment of your own making. And that would be a tragic waste of such a diversity of God, don't you think?
Well, to some greater or lesser degree, it's all of our karma, as it were. I know karma is, you know, we don't really want to go there, but do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
It's one thing not knowing about it, and it's another thing knowing about it and not doing anything, no matter how small.
Yes.
It's just one email or one, you know, one phone call or one donation to the
absolutely.
Right cause is something.
Is one donation more. It means to say that you, even if you pledge only a few pennies, that is something that otherwise they would not have received. Count your ripple as a little drop in a large ocean, but a ripple that will extend to the borders of humanity and to the well-being of these great and beautiful and enigmatic creatures who continue to be spirit having a physical existence in a different form.
We've got a minute or two left.
Yeah.
Is Diane Vossey or Peter Scott still, do they still see the animals?
Oh, very much.
That they knew before?
Oh, yes.
Digit was one, wasn't it?
Yes,
so Diane Vossey
had
a favourite.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They dwell together so often, and in fact, she shares much of the lives to do with the other beings in that particular soul group.
But they must get very frustrated being on that side of life now and not having so much of an input.
Yes, in a part, but also, though, as she says, there are many people who are taking over from her. Who have actually established this connection and who actually constantly gravitate toward the work that she had done and created and the knowledge that she accrued in her physical life from her studies and her events of loving kindness toward the tribes that were in her care.
Well, that's good. I'm sure we can find those on the internet.
Absolutely so, my
okay.
dear friend. And, of course, we are thankful as well for having this ever-present platform. And this in itself is something which will no doubt galvanize a few minds into making a claim upon their right of passage on behalf of those beings who are gorilla.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Gregory. And we give thanks to BBS Radio as well for allowing us to do this.
Absolutely so. Absolutely so, my dear friends. With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, ever watchful in your journey, for the truth of love and light lives on. God bless.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and, well, it's very emotive and very moving, and hopefully it will instill anybody who's been listening today to do something anyway. Just go within and think about it, and it will make you feel so pleased that you have, if you do make an effort to do something that you can, anything that you can. Just go within and see what you think of. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening today to Spirit's Work. Do visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And until next time, my name is Sylvie Avery. Be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Bye.